text, a familiar thought, because I was just observing the saints, especially during this week. My mind kind of went to the concept of prayer, the concepts of prayer. Really not the title of the lesson. We're just going to simply just talk about prayer this morning. Now, I'm going to look at a text scripture from Luke, the 19th chapter, and the 46th verse. Luke, the 19th chapter, and the 46th verse. And it says, saying unto them, it is written, and this is Jesus saying, my house shall be called, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, prayer is our means to communicate with Jesus. It is through prayer that we make our requests or our petitions known to the Lord. This is something the scripture has declared that men ought always to pray and not to stop it, not to cease or not to faint. Now, if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. It simply says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. As we said now, communicate. Prayer is your means of communicating with Jesus. And according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, you should be communicating with Jesus nonstop. Don't, again, limit yourself. And many times people limit themselves to prayers when they're in the church on their knees for prayer and tarrying service. But prayer is to be done all the time. Your greatest prayers are going to be the ones that are off of your knees. Because again, that is what prayer is. Prayer is your means of communicating with Jesus. It's the way you communicate with the Lord. Now, we communicate with one another by many tools. We write, some we text, we call one another, we send emails, all kind of ways we try our best to communicate with one another, with facial expressions. But with Jesus, our means of communication is prayer. Our means of communication is prayer. Now, if we go over, let's look at two scriptures to see what prayer is. 1 John chapter number 5 and 15, and someone else get Philippians chapter number 4 and 6. Now, years ago, we did a graphic showing how prayer was likened unto the phone line. And if you can remember that, as long as the phone line was connected, remember, prayer is a sender and a receiver. Communication is a sender, someone sending the information, and a receiver, someone getting the information. And with our line of communication with Jesus, it has to be two-sided. Just as much as we're sending something to Jesus, we need to be receiving something from Jesus. It has to be two-sided. Sending something and receiving something. And Satan strives his hardest to break our lines of communication. He doesn't mind you sending to Jesus, just as long as you don't get anything back from the Lord. He wants to make sure he puts you in a position not to hear from Jesus when you are in your prayer. He wants to make you think that the Lord doesn't hear you. And when you don't hear from the Lord, that puts a sense of doubt in the mind that the Lord is not listening to you or Jesus doesn't hear you. What do we say? 1 John chapter number 5 and 15. What does that say? That's it. See what I said? How the enemy tries to put that doubt in your mind when you're not receiving from Jesus to make you think that the Lord don't hear you. But that's where you have to build up your confidence. You have to be very confident in your approach in prayer. You got to know that Jesus hears you. You need to know that Jesus is attentive to your ear, your prayers. Scripture declares that his ears are open to the cries of the righteous. You need to know that the Lord hears you when you are praying and that he will answer you. No sense in you talking to the Lord if you don't think the Lord is going to answer you. You need to know that Jesus will answer you in your prayer. As the writer here in 1 John 5 and 15, what does it say there again?
And if we know he hears us. Whatsoever we ask.
See that? Now that's the confidence. Now, this is the confidence that we have in our prayer life. That whatsoever we ask,
we know that we have the petition.
We have the petitions. A petition is a request. We have the petitions that we do what? Desired of him. See, prayer is your opportunity to make your petitions known to Jesus. I know a lot of times we spend a lot of energy telling everyone else our requests. And we take very little opportunity to go to the one that actually can provide us with what we need. Jesus is always going to be your greatest resource. He is going to be the supplier of all of your needs. So we have to learn how to make our requests known to Jesus, whatever it is. A lot of times we go to the Lord for the big things that seem impossible, but for the things that we think other people can do, the things that seem small and insignificant, we tend to avoid going to Jesus with those things. But Jesus wants us to be in a mind frame or a mindset that we go to him for everything. We make our petitions known to Jesus. In other words, you notice with that word petition, along with that word petition, it says the desire. In other words, when we have a desire, something that we want, something that we desire, something that we find as a need, an expression of a need, an expression of a want, it has to be included in our petition. And so in other words, no sense of you saying you want the Lord to do something for you if you don't really think he can do it. It's got to be, you have to know confidently that Jesus is the one that can answer your prayer, that he is the one that can supply you with your need. Now, the beautiful thing about our prayer life, about being able to communicate with Jesus, it's amazing to see Jesus respond to our prayers with people that don't know anything about what we pray for. That's a beautiful and amazing thing. How I can go to the Lord and talk to him in my prayer, and then all of a sudden, someone that I did not let know what my petition was or is comes by and gives me what I asked the Lord for. Therefore, I know I don't owe that person gratitude or thanksgiving, whole, you know, all of it. I thank them for what they're doing, but I realize it was Jesus using them. Jesus used them to answer my prayer because I made my petition or my request known to him. That's what 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 15 says. And if we know that he does what? Here. See, that lets us know that prayer has to be some form of you expressing something to Jesus. And whether you do it with your lips or whether you do it within your mind, you need to know that the Lord hears you. And you need to position yourself in such a way that the Lord will hear you. If you think you got it all, the Lord can't do nothing with you. As the Lord said before, those that are already well don't need the physician. And if you are really in a position of need or desire or want, then the Lord can work with you. If you wholeheartedly express Jesus to be the one that can fulfill your request. That's one thing I've learned in prayer. If I go to the Lord half-heartedly, he don't hear nothing of that. He wants me to get to the point where I need him more than anything else. He wants me to condition my mind in such a way to know that he is the supplier of the need. He's not an option. Jesus is the sole supplier. He has monopolized that thing. In other words, it's only one. You can't go to different ones for stuff. I know you may be able to go to different grocery stores and they sell the same product and we try to see which one we can catch on sale. You know, we jump, we don't find no commitment to one. There used to be years ago when people would be committed to that one store. And whether that store had your product on sale or not, you are committed. I'm going to give them my money. That's not the case now no more. People shop around and look for deals. They look for sales or bargains. So even though I may go into the Giants and Giant knows my name, but if Giant milk is high, I'm going to forget about Giant. I'm going to go to ShopRite because ShopRite got the deal. And Giant is going to lose that business. Jesus said that's not how prayer works. Jesus had monopolized prayer. He says, I'm the only one that can answer your prayer. It's a beautiful thing to know that, saints. Now, many people waste all of that energy trying to find other people to answer things that only Jesus can answer. They go to doctors, they go to psychiatrists, they go to family, they go to friends, and they readily make their petition known. They readily say, I'm in this situation. I'm going through this. Can you help me? I don't know what to do. And Jesus is saying, you're wasting time and energy making your request or your petition known to someone that can't help you. Jesus said, I am the source of prayer. I am the source of your communication. I am the source of all that you need. You need to learn how to talk with me and not stop talking with me, right? That's the truth, saint. Make your request known to Jesus. That's what the scripture says here. What does it say? And whatsoever we do what? Ask.
We know that we have the petition.
That's right. Now, many people think that they can go to the Lord demanding things. They just say, just tell him what you want. And that's the attitude that they have. I'm going to tell Jesus. You know, and it's not, it's all right to say, tell the Lord, but what's the attitude behind it? The Lord don't owe you anything. Jesus can do what he wants to do. You have to understand, you must ask. You got to ask the Lord. It'll be no different if your children come up to you and they see you with food and they want some of it. And they come up to you and say, give me some of that. Well, you look at them like you crazy. You say, first of all, you ain't in no position to be telling me to do nothing tonight. This is my food. You can do better than that. And they say, oh, I'm sorry. I was just playing. May I have such and such? Now, that's so much better. It's a respecting of authority. It's realizing that you are in humble submission. That, in other words, the parent don't got to do anything for you. If they didn't have it, you wouldn't have it. That's the attitude you have. And when we go before the Lord, we got to have the same thing. When we say his name, we can't say his name as though he owes us anything. It has to be an attitude of asking, an attitude of begging or beseeching. One writer calls it supplication. Supplication is the act of beseeching or begging, a desperate inner cry. You know, it's like a pleading. When we say his name Jesus, when we say the name Jesus, it has to be like a pleading or a beseeching, letting him know, Lord, I'm in desperate need, and you're the only one that can supply me with my need. I know you don't owe me anything, but you're the only one that can give me what I'm asking for, right? That's the truth. So the writer is saying he hears us. And if we, whatsoever we ask, we know confidence in prayer. Saint has got to be confident. You got to know that the Lord hears you. You got to know that your words are not idle. You're not just beating the air. A lot of times I think sometimes we think we're doing that. When we're down there calling Jesus, we think we're beating the air or just wasting time or just letting the clock go by like the second hand. And then the Lord is saying, no, no, no. Your prayers are significant. You got to know that the Lord hears you. When I say Jesus, I got to know the Lord hears me. I got to know I got his attention when I say his name. That's one time, you know, a lot of times we get lost in that. We say Jesus, 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 Jesus. We get lost in it. We get lost in it and we just think that the Lord don't hear us. You know, we call him like he doesn't hear us. But you got to know every time you say Jesus, his ears are open to you. And you got to expect to hear from the Lord. When I say Jesus, I got to expect to hear from the Lord. I got to know His ears are open to me. He's looking at me now that I called Him by His name. Now I got to expect to receive something from Him when I say Jesus, right? That's the truth, say. Confidence. We know that we have the petition. I'm in the right position. I'm in the right position to be able to make my petitions known to the Lord. I'm not an outcast. I'm not one walking around in a broken connection with the Lord. My battery is not dead. My signal is not lost. I got an open line directly to Jesus. Got good signal. I got good charge. In other words, that's when the writer is saying here, when he says, we have the position. In other words, you got all the tools you need in order to make your petition known and to receive something from Jesus. Make your petition known and the desire. Is that what it says there? That we do what? Desire of Him. I always think about that when I think about the children, little babies. You think about babies don't know English. They don't know how to walk. They don't know how to talk. But one thing that baby understands is how to communicate. When that baby is hungry, it cries. And that baby don't stop crying until you feed them. And it knows who to cry around. That's the beautiful thing about it. Baby knows how, if the mama comes in the room and somebody else comes over, baby will turn his head away from him. Because the baby knows you're not the one that can give me what I'm looking for. But then when that mother comes, then that baby puts on a special presentation. Say, oh, I really want you. You're the one that I'm really looking for. In other words, you're the source of my need. I'm hungry and you are the source. Somebody else go to pick up that baby. The baby just start to squirming. And then he see his mother on the other end. He'll stop pointing in the direction of his mother, stretching out his arms toward her, letting her know being picked up isn't what I wanted. I want to be in my mother's arms. And then even when he gets in the mother's arms, if the mother nurses the child, the child goes directly down to where the source of the food is at. And it doesn't get satisfied until the mother gives that child what it wants. Now, put in your mind, that child don't know how to talk. That child don't know how to walk. But that child knows how to communicate. And as we get older, as we get more sophisticated in our thinking, as we get more refined in our ability to articulate the things that we want, we lose the basic sense of communication. You need to know who you're trying to talk to. And you need to know what gets that person's attention. I need to know I'm not talking to nobody else but Jesus. And I need to know what gets Jesus' attention. His ears are open to the cries of the righteous. In other words, I got to be right when I cry out to Jesus. I got to be walking upright to Jesus. I can't be shady. I can't be shaky. I can't be wishy-washy. I can't have unrepentant sin in my life. I got to make sure everything is lined up so that when I cry out to Jesus, He will hear me, right? That's the truth, saints. That baby know how to talk. That baby knows how to communicate without even using its words. And the Lord done blessed you, gave you one word. He entered one word into your vocabulary. What one word did He enter in? Jesus. He said, there's no salvation in any other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we would. He brought that name into your vocabulary. So even before you learn how to say mama, daddy, none of that is more important. Milk, bread, none of that is more important. Because none of that can deliver you like the name Jesus. Jesus said, let this name, let this word be in your vocabulary. And when you make your request known, let it all be summed up when you use that word. When you use that name Jesus, let all of your desire be into that name. Let all of your petitions, your wants be summed up into that name. In other words, when I say Jesus is everything that I want. Jesus is everything that I need. He's everything that I desire. And when I don't get what I'm looking for, I gotta be like that baby. I gotta cry out to the Lord and don't stop crying until He answers me, right? That's the truth, saints.
Come on, go to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. We need to learn how to pray. Learn how to pray.
Philippians 4 and 6.
Yes.
Be careful for nothing.
Yes, that's right.
But in everything by
praying. Not by some things, by everything. Mm-hmm. Prayer has got to be everything we are.
Yes.
In other words, we got an opportunity to talk to Jesus. We ought to seize that moment.
Yes.
We ought not to let that moment go by.
Uh-huh.
We ought not to count that moment as being unimportant.
Right.
My ability and my privilege uh-huh. to be able to talk to the Lord
yes.
is on the top of my list. If that is taken away from me, what if the Lord takes the ability to pray away from you? The dead can't pray no more.
No.
What if the Lord takes that ability to communicate
uh-huh.
away from you?
Uh-huh.
Huh? Come on, saints, think about that thing. Fellow that died on last night, he can't pray no more.
No.
Huh? He can try his best. Look at the rich man when he even went down into hell.
Uh-huh.
He crossed over into death and he tried to pray in death.
Yes.
But the ears of Jesus were deafened.
Yes.
In other words, the Lord didn't hear him no more.
Yes.
The Lord took away his right to pray.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Do you want the Lord to do that to you?
No.
No. I want to seize every moment.
Every moment.
I want to take advantage of the opportunity to pray to the Lord.
Yes.
Scripture says that in everything, right? And everything by prayer and by what? Supplication. Huh? Make your requests known to Jesus, right? Yes, right. Let your requests be made known. I thank you, Jesus, for being able to pray. I thank you, Jesus, for being in a position to being able to have access, being able to have opportunity and privilege to make my request known to you. Oh, yes, saints. You got to have that kind of attitude. You can't be bored with prayer. Oh, no. You can try it if you want. But that opportunity is going to pass you right on by. And I'm trying to tell you, in your boredom, it's going to drift right on away from you. And then you're going to get in a position where you're going to really passionately try to pray. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work because the opportunity has passed you by.
Huh?
That's why the Lord told you to seek him while he may be found. To do what? Call upon him. When he says call upon him, he's making reference to prayer. He's making reference to you being able to talk to him and he hears you, right? Call unto him, right? That's what the scripture tells you to do. Come on, go over to Matthew chapter number 7 in verse number 7. When we make those petition and my desire made known to Jesus. And that's what the one writer said. Now I got to know where is my desire summed up. How can I tell? How can I express my desire? Jesus says what? Ask and it shall be given to you. Right? Ask. Huh? Ask Jesus. When you say, Lord, I need this, ask Jesus. Say, Elder Scott, I'm going through this. Have you asked the Lord about it? Huh? Huh? That's the truth. Many people are even wondering and say, should I take this vaccine? Should I do that? You don't know. You just don't know the answer. Elder Scudder don't know the answer. No, I'm trying to tell you, you need to talk to the Lord. You need to ask Jesus, Jesus, what move should I make? What choice should I take, Lord Jesus? And he will answer you. I know one thing is true. I told my wife, I said, you know, because we had these issues in our bodies, these conditions and stuff, blah, 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 and I had to do this because of this allergies, I don't know what I should do concerning this vaccine. I don't know if it'll be the best choice. All this information going on. I went to the Lord about it. I asked the Lord about it. And before I got to the doctor's office, my doctor came to me. He said, have you signed up for the vaccine? I said, oh, no, I haven't done it yet. Well, you need to go ahead and do it. Why? Because I did it and my wife did it. You know, this is what's going to happen, but you'll be fine. And I told him, I said, well, you know, doc, you know, I was thinking about that too. And I was wondering about, I had to use the EpiPen. He said, no, you'll be fine. I had to use the EpiPen too. And that was my concern. But I didn't make my petition known to my doctor.
Right.
I went to the Lord.
Right.
And I was attentive to when the Lord responded to me by my doctor.
Right.
My doctor did not know my concern.
Right.
My doctor did not know my petition.
Right.
But Jesus knew it, right?
Right.
And he answered my prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to let nobody else fool me after I have direct connection with Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is the source of my supply, right?
Right?
That's the truth. He's the one that answers my prayer, right? Is that what the scripture say?
Yeah.
Ask and it shall be given to you. Now, you can't be in a position when you done asked the Lord something and he done gave you the answer and you start doubting. That's no good. Huh? According to 1 John, scripture says we have to know this. You got to know that he hears you. Huh? You got to, ain't no sense in you going down this path trying to develop a line of communication with Jesus if you're unsure that he's got the ability to respond back to you when you ask something of him, right? We need to know he hears us, right? And not only hears us, but he answers. Huh? He answers his prayers. When we pray, he answers us. Huh? Oh yes, saints. When we make our petitions known to the Lord, he answers us. He knows what we have need of according to the scripture before we even ask. But he's still waiting on you to do what? Ask. That's the truth. Lord is still waiting on you to ask. He's still waiting on you to make your petition known to him. That's right. Oh yes, the road will be dark. Life will be full of uncertainty. Huh? There will be a whole lot of question marks that will be before you. What should I do? What path should I take? What decision will be in my best interest? That's why it is there to encourage us. When you're in those type of situations in life, you need to pray. You need to learn how to pray, huh? And know when you hear from the Lord and when you're hearing from yourself, huh? Self, that devil is very keen. That devil loves to get in and interrupt prayer. He's a deceiver. He tries to jump in on the line and present himself as though he is Jesus. That's why you need to stay spiritual. You need to stay in tune with Jesus to know when you got friction on the line. You need to know when the communication has been severed and someone else is talking to you. Huh? Come on, saints, that's true. You need to know when your line of communication has cut with Jesus and you started opening up the line to Satan. See, that's the problem with Adam and Eve. You didn't learn anything in the beginning. Instead of them talking to the Lord wholeheartedly without stopping, when they stopped talking with Jesus, that's when the devil started talking to them, right? That's the truth. That's when the devil started talking. Devil started talking when they stopped talking with Jesus. Where was Jesus? He was in the air. He was in the garden. He was everywhere. They would have known the God that they were serving. When the devil appeared, they would have said, Jesus, who is this? Huh? Jesus, this is not you. How do you know it's not Jesus? Because he's telling me to do something that you told me not to do. Huh? You can't let his word depart from you. You've got to hide that word in your heart. When the Lord speaks, you've got to hide that word in your heart. You've prayed. You've asked the Lord to respond to you. He gave you the word. Now you've got to hide that word in your heart. In other words, treasure it, right? Hold on to it. Don't abandon it. Don't let it go. Why? It is your nourishment. It is your lifeline. It will sustain you. It'll keep you from falling, right? It'll allow you to be presented faultless before whose presence? Not the presence of the devil, but the presence of Jesus. That's who you're going to stand before when you're a judge. You're not going to stand. People think when they serve the devil that they're going to stand before the devil for the devil to give them a okay, you did a good job as my servant. That ain't how it works. There is only one judge. That one judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are going to stand before him to give an account of what we have done in this body, whether it is good or whether it is bad. Whether you, in other words, you can waste your time talking to Satan all you want, but you're going to answer to Jesus for all of that time you wasted talking to a devil that cannot answer your prayer, right? Devil can't answer your prayer. Devil is a liar. Scriptures call him a murderer from the very beginning. Huh? Oh yeah, he will talk to you, but his speech is vain. It's void. It don't give you anything. It doesn't allow you to profit. It only takes away from you. That's why the writer done told you that thief cometh not but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He ain't adding nothing to your life. He ain't adding nothing to the value of who you are. He don't care about your soul. He don't care about the real you. He don't care about the tears that you cry. He don't care about your desperate situation. He don't care about the stresses that be in your life. He don't care about when you are desperately crying for help. He cares nothing about that, right? He just wants you to waste your time.
Yeah.
Waste all of your energy.
Uh-huh.
Lose all of your hope.
Right.
Huh? Oh, yes, he does. Uh-huh. He doesn't want you to think Jesus hears you at all.
Yeah.
When the Lord says,
yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah. Right.
When the Lord says, my ears are open to you. When the Lord says, this poor man cried, and the Lord did what? Heard him. And not only heard him, but saved him.
Yeah.
Out of all of it, not some of the trouble, but all of the trouble he was in, right? Devil don't want you to get to that point.
No,
he wants you to lose hope.
Yes.
Say, all this stuff is not worth it.
No,
huh?
No,
oh, yeah.
No.
I can pick and choose when I want to do this thing.
No, no.
When the Lord told you to pray without ceasing.
Right.
That's what the Lord said to do.
No.
Pray without ceasing.
Right.
But in your mind, you think you can get by doing it when you want to do it.
Right.
And I'm trying to tell you, when you stop talking to Jesus, the devil's going to start talking to you.
Right.
And if you're not careful, you're going to listen.
Yes.
And you're going to do what he tells you to do, right?
Yes.
And you ain't going to do nothing but fall a victim,
mm-hmm,
to his lies and his deceit.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
But the Lord done told you, if you have a desire, ask.
Yes.
Ask Jesus.
Yes,
huh? Ask Jesus.
Yes,
if everyone that asks, that you will receive.
Right.
That's why it ain't no reason for you to walk around years after years without the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
It ain't no reason for you to live day by day without Jesus living down inside of you.
Right.
Holy Ghost is Jesus living down inside of you.
Right.
You, why would you keep going moment by moment and not take advantage of the opportunity Jesus has given you to pray?
Right.
He's already told you, if you make your petition or your request known,
Jesus,
and let your petition be summed up with what you desire,
right,
he will answer you, right?
Right?
No need to keep going around empty without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Why? No, no, it's no reason for you to keep doing that.
Right.
Not when you understand your privilege.
Right.
Not when you understand your opportunity.
Yes.
In other words, I had a privilege and an opportunity to talk to Jesus.
Yes.
And make my request known to Jesus.
Yes.
If I want to be saved, that should be the top of my list.
Yes.
See, some people say, well, I'm calling on the Lord. I'm making my petition known. He hasn't answered me yet. Well, he's not at the top of your list.
Right.
He's not your top priority.
Right.
How you know, Elder Scudder? Because Jesus said,
yes,
he will answer you.
Yes.
And whatever you ask, you will receive.
Yes.
Whatever you seek after, you'll find it.
Yes.
Whatever you're consistent.
Uh-huh.
That word not means consistent.
Right.
In other words, you're determined to get what you're looking for.
Right.
You're looking for an answer. And you're not going to give up till you get the answer you're looking for, right?
Right.
You knock the door, or the way is made open to you.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Is that what the scripture says?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, read a little bit more to me. Uh-huh. Matthew 7 and 8.
For everyone that asketh.
Ain't that something? Ain't that do y'all understand? Do y'all believe this?
Yes.
I believe that. Ain't no sense in me backing up from this.
Right.
Lord is telling me this is how prayer works.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that asks does what?
Receive it. And he that seeketh,
find. You find it.
And to him that knocketh, it shall
be. It shall be open. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the Lord will make a way.
Yes, right.
You can't tell me, Elder Scudder, oh, I was trying, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then that means you ain't praying to the Lord like you should.
Because
the Lord say, if you do this, he will make a way.
Yeah.
Huh? You say, the Lord say, you knock. Then what does it say?
It shall be open.
It shall be open. In other words, you'll have a plan.
Right.
In other words, all these things that hinder you and stop you, the Lord will remove that stuff out of the way.
Right.
If you just pray like you're supposed to, right?
Yeah.
A lot of us give up. Because it ain't really what we want to do. We just hide behind it.
Jesus.
We say, oh, I can't do this, Elder Scudder. I can't do that, Elder Scudder. And I was wondering, well, why you can't do it and I can? What's the problem? Are you praying to the Lord? Are you really crying out to the Lord? Are you letting the Lord know your desire? Oh, yeah, I do. I let the Lord know my desire. I say, Jesus, I desire this. I desire to be in your presence. I don't want to miss you, Jesus. I don't want to miss spending time with you. I value our connection. I value the opportunity that I have to come in and praise and magnify your name. I realize, Lord, there will be a day when I die that I'm not going to be able to praise you in this. I realize that. I know when I die, I'm not going to be able to talk to you in this. Well, therefore, I want to use all that I have right now to praise you and to thank you and to talk to you. Why? Because if I do that in this body, it'll be a normal habit. It'll be a familiar territory when I get into the new body. If you don't know how to pray in this body, how are you going to learn how to communicate with Jesus in the new body? If you were looking for excuses in this body, you're going to be looking for them in the new body. And I got news for you. Jesus don't want you in his kingdom in a new body looking for excuses. You got to want to praise him, right? You got to want to talk to the Lord. You got to be looking for opportunities to thank him. That's the truth, saints. You got to want, you got to desire this. I desire to be in the presence of the Lord. This is not a hard pill for me to swallow. This is something that I want to do. I long to be in fellowship with Jesus and the saints. I realize I have not separated the saints from Jesus. Why? Because I realize Jesus is in the saints and the saint is in Jesus. Therefore, I long to be with Jesus and to be with his saints. I realize my inheritance is among those that are saved and sanctified. Those that are of the faith, right? That's the truth, saints. Long to be with him. Can't let the world try to take me out of this. Can't let the world, you know, try to manipulate my life and my path, my habits. Huh? The world is trying to turn the Lord's house into a den of thieves and a house of merchandise. Huh? Even on this whole COVID thing. How dare you try to associate the Lord's house with other places that are in the earth? When the Lord says, my house is a house of prayer. Is that what the Lord says? My house is a house of prayer. Huh? If any house stays open, it should be the Lord's house. Huh? The government's going to pour any resources into anything, it should be the Lord's house. Why? Because that house needs to stay open. When I close restaurants and I close bars and I close hospitals and I close stadiums, all of the resources should be poured into the Lord's house. Why? Because that's where we can communicate with Jesus. Lord done told you, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and do what? Pray. The Lord's house is a house of prayer. If you humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn away from your wicked ways, then you'll hear from heaven, right?
That's it.
Then you'll hear from heaven. Huh? Where's the Holy Ghost coming from? Heaven. Then you will hear. Say, oh, it's good. I want the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will come. Huh? You will be endued with power from on high. If you do your part, right? If I do my part, the Lord will do his part. Huh? Give me verse number 9. Matthew 7:9.
It says, oh, what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone?
To see the son, the child's got more sense than the adult. Mm-hmm. Child got more sense than the adult. Child knows to go to the source.
Right.
Child knows I ain't going to get no bread from nobody else. I'm going to go to my mom and my daddy. If anybody going to feed me, I know they will. Child know I ain't going to my neighbors ask for nothing to eat. They come home. They come home. Y'all understand that? You need to learn how to come home. You need to learn how to come back to Jesus. Stop doing all that talking to everybody else and learn how to talk to Jesus. Go back where you belong at, right? And talk to the source. Jesus is the source of my bread. He is the source of my water, right? He's the one that quenches my thirst. He's the one that satisfies my belly, right? That's the truth, saints. Go to the source. Son asked his father for bread. Huh?
Will he give him a stone?
That's truth.
Or if he asks a fish,
yep.
Will he give him a serpent?
Ain't that a beautiful thing? Mm-hmm. All of my relationship with my parents, I know what I've asked for, they gave it to me. Huh? Even when it wasn't everything I wanted. Huh? But what they realized, they were able to decipher between want and need. Huh? My feet never had without shoes. Huh? My belly, the table, never was in a position where there was nothing to eat. And I'm not telling you that things weren't scarce, but I don't know about it. Huh? Because there was always food to eat. Do y'all understand that? Have you ever thought about that? When you look back over your life, as hard as you can say your life was, you can honestly say the Lord blessed you with some good examples because they kept food on your table. They kept on feeding you even when there was no food to feed you. Huh? That's a good parent for you. They were letting you understand that there was always food at home, right? You didn't have to go to your neighbor and say, can you feed me? Why? Because your mom and your daddy did that job, right? Now Jesus said, if your mom and your daddy behave like that, how much more will I do for you, right? How much more will Jesus do for you? Is that what the book say? Read a little bit more.
That if ye then being evil.
What if the Lord, your mom and daddy was in sin. They had no Jesus. They were sinners. Oh, not mama. Yes, they were sinners. Full of sin. In sin did their mama and their daddy conceive them. They were born in sin. Yet in sin they still fed you. Yet in sin they still protected you. Huh? Jesus said, if they being evil. Huh? Evil, right?
That if ye then. Being evil, know how to give good
things. Good things. Huh? And so that lets you know, just because people give you good things don't mean they saved.
Right.
Elder Scudder said it again. Right. Just because they give you good things don't mean they saved.
Right.
Huh? Because Jesus, out of his own mouth,
right,
said your evil mama and daddy,
right,
gave you good things. Y'all don't like that, but it's right there in your book. Just because they give you good things don't mean that they are saved. Huh? They still got to be born again. Born of what? Water and spirit. They got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission or for the removal of sin. They've got to have the Holy Ghost, right? With the evidence of speaking in tongues. As Jesus gives them the utterance. That allows them to cross from death unto life. That allows them to be justified or to be declared righteous in the eyesight of a righteous judge, right? You and I are not the righteous judge. So regardless of what we say, it don't mean anything. I know we walk around and say, my mom and my daddy were saved. They say, you don't know how saved they were. Only one know it is Jesus. That's why the only one you need to worry about is you. Come on, saints. Lord told you to save who? Yourself. So the only one you know about is you, right? That's the only one you know about. Well, you can't tell me my mom and my daddy wasn't good. They were good people. Huh? The Lord told you evil knows how to give good. Jesus said that. Now again, Elder Scudder didn't say that. Jesus said that. Jesus said your parents, your mom and daddy were evil. Yet they gave you good stuff. So that's why you don't need to accept this whole idea that somebody being so evil can't do you good. Huh?
Right.
And I'm saying, well, I'm evil, so I'm going to just be who I am. No, you can be evil and still give good.
Right.
So I don't have to accept evil from you because you are evil.
Right.
You need to go back and regroup and give me something good with your evil self, right?
Right.
Does that make sense? Huh? I know we just say that, oh, they're in sin, so they're going to do sin. Nah, they can do good. You can do better than what you're doing. Huh? In all your evil ways, you can still do good, right? He said, I thought Martin Luther King was saved. He was a good man. He was a good man. He fought for civil rights. He was evil in the eyesight of Jesus. Yet he still was able to do good, right? Just because they do good don't make them saved, right? Is this in your book? It is. is in the good book, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Your mom and your daddy were what? Evil.
If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children.
How much more?
Your Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah, who? Jesus is greater.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is greater, saints.
Yes.
He knows how to give you good gifts.
Right.
If you learn how to do what? Ask him.
Right.
Don't forget what the Lord said. Make your desire known unto Jesus.
Right.
Ask, you shall receive.
Yes.
Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be what? Open unto you, right? Is that what the book says?
Yes.
All right, come on. Go over to John chapter number 14. I'm almost done. Not going to try your patience much longer. John 14, 13 through 14. So we can get this thing called tarrying under good understanding. What does it mean to tarry? Tarry means to wait.
Right.
Now you should be asking yourself, are you just waiting for the time to get up? Are you waiting to hear from Jesus? There's a big difference. If I'm just waiting for the time to get up, obviously I'm not going to get what I'm looking for.
Right.
Because that's my focus. But am I getting down on my knees with the expectation to hear from Jesus?
Yes.
Everybody don't do that.
Right.
Some people just jump down on their knees and they say, oh, I know I'm going to be down here for an hour. I know I'm going to be down here for 30 minutes. Let me hurry up and get this thing done so I can at least check this off my list. So somebody asks me, did I pray? I can say, yes. Didn't you see me on my knees? Didn't you hear me calling Jesus? And the question I really need to ask you is, did you hear from the Lord? The question you'd be saying, well, I don't know. But you say, I don't know if I heard from the Lord. Then obviously you wasted your time for 30 minutes. You wasted your time for an hour because you didn't get down there with the expectation.
Right.
You got down there to waste time.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Come on, saints, does that make sense? According to John chapter number, 14 and starting at 13, it says, and whatsoever you do what? And I tell you, one name you need to learn is the name of Jesus.
Right.
When you learn that name, you need to put your petitions into that name. When I'm saying Jesus, 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 I'm really saying save me. As I like to get on my knees and say, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord. Because I'm calling the name that can save. I'm saying Jesus with the expectation that I need the Lord to deliver me.
Right.
I'm saying Jesus because I need Jesus to do what? Deliver me.
Right.
Jesus means save me.
Yeah.
The name of the Lord is salvation.
Right.
Huh? Jesus means save me. So when I'm saying Jesus, I need to mean I need the Lord to do what? Deliver me. Right? Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Whatsoever we ask, how?
And it said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. And it said, that will I do.
That will he do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, in other words, the Lord, in other words, says, I will fulfill your heart's desire.
Right.
If you need the Lord to save you, just call him by his name.
Right.
Say, I just gotta, I want him to save me. I really, 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 really want to be saved. Well, just open your mouth and call Jesus. Well, I'm doing that, and I still ain't saved. Well, you gotta go back to the drawing board. Obviously, something's wrong with your desire. He's not number one yet, right?
Right, that's it.
And I can't fix that for you.
Nope.
In other words, you can't talk your way into this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk Jesus up to number one.
Right.
You gotta desire it. You gotta want him to be number one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can't just talk the Lord up.
Nope.
You know, if I tell Sister Scudder long enough how much I want to be saved, I'm trying to talk him up the ladder.
Right.
And I'm assuming because I'm talking to her about it so much, I'm just talking him up the ladder, but the Lord really see the real me. And all my talking, the Lord really see the real me. Lord say, oh no, he ain't number one. Because I know what you're going to do when you leave here. I know what you was doing before you got here. Right? And I know what's on your mind while you're talking to her right now. Lord says, you can deceive other people, but you can't deceive Jesus. Jesus said, I know your heart. Huh? Lord said, I know your heart. That's why sometimes I've tarried with people and it didn't seem like they really wanted it.
Wow.
According to the way I was visioning. Mm-hmm. They'd be down there, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, well, you better cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Let the Lord know how much you really want. And then another one still is really crying, Jesus. And we run over the task. Oh, yeah, that's it. Call him. Then all of a sudden, the one that wasn't really calling him all that hard, all that passionately, according to my standards, according to the way I saw it, all of a sudden, I see the Lord quicken them. I say, whoa, why would the Lord move on them that really wasn't calling them all that hard, wasn't doing all that I thought they should be doing? But then he didn't move on that one that was over there doing a whole bunch of crying, whole bunch of moving, whole bunch of screaming. Why would the Lord not quicken them and quicken that person? The Lord said, I see something you don't see. I see that person's heart. Huh? The Lord know your heart's desires. That's why the Lord said, don't you ask Stephen, ask Jesus. See, you when you're down there tarrying, you're not tarrying for me. You tarrying, you waiting for the Lord. How about I tell you, you can call Jesus with your eyes open if you want to. Just sit down and sit in the seat and watch me the whole time. Because you ain't going to get nothing no way. Because your mind ain't on Jesus. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
Amazing. You be down there calling Jesus, peeking and everything else. Everything just peeking. I'm saying to myself, you might as well open up your eyes. Go on and look at me. Maybe you want to talk to me. Do like the children do. Come here. They want to talk to me. They don't want to talk to Jesus right now. See, children got they're honest. They're honest and they tell it flat footed. They look up at me when I say, well, let's call Jesus. They say, Jesus. And then they see me come. Because they're trying to tell me I don't want to talk to Jesus right now. I want to talk to you. And they go right to talking about whatever's on their mind. And after they finish talking to me, I say, now go on back to calling Jesus. And they go right on back to calling Jesus. But then they looking at me the whole time. And I'd be saying to myself, now I know they don't want no Holy Ghost. Why? Because they busy wanting to talk to who?
Right, yeah.
They want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm top priority. Jesus is not the top priority right now.
Right.
But I'm still doing my best to do what train them up.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, you got to be serious about receiving the Holy Ghost. Well, who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is Jesus down on the inside of you. You want Jesus to come live down on the inside of you. He'll make you feel better. You know, when things get hard, Jesus will make you feel better. He'll take that fight out of you. That want to be mean and hateful. He'll take that away from you. He'll make you feel loved and not scared. Huh? See, I got to talk in their mind frame. And then one of these days, they're going to get down there with a mind to call Jesus. They ain't going to be looking all around. All of a sudden, you're going to see their little eyes shut. Little eyes going to be shut. And you're going to see tears coming out their eyes. Even someone said, whoa, what is this? They serious.
Right.
They got a mind to want to call Jesus.
Right.
And they called him with everything inside of them. That's how we was.
Yeah.
You know, one day it clicked. We called Jesus with everything inside of us. I remember I was on my knees one time as a child. I wanted the Holy Ghost so bad I was hopping on my knees. I mean, hopping like a bunny rabbit. Just hopping on my knees. I ain't getting the Holy Ghost, but I really wanted the Holy Ghost bad. I realized the Lord wasn't looking for no performance.
Right.
Huh? He wasn't looking for no performance. He wasn't looking for you to show him how bad you wanted it. He wanted you to get that heart right. That, in other words, that inner man got to really want to be saved. And when that inner man really want to be saved, you realize you don't even do no hopping.
No.
You just really just sincerely talk to the Lord. All you do is just open up and you talk to Jesus. It ain't a performance. It ain't a show. It ain't about how much you do this or do that. All you simply do is talk to Jesus. That's true. That's prayer, saints. That's all prayer is. Prayer is your opportunity to talk to Jesus.
Right.
Make your petitions known to the Lord.
Right.
Realizing that the Lord does what he hears you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
We so busy about the Lord seeing us.
Right.
But we don't focus on the Lord doing what hearing
right.
us.
That's
you need to
right.
know that the Lord hears you.
Right.
And I don't want to have anything sever that line.
Right.
Huh? You hate your brother? You can't stand him? Huh? Oh, yeah. You say, oh, the others, I don't hate my brother. Yes, you do. Look how you're treating them. Look how you're behaving yourself around them. You don't even want to say praise the Lord to them. You roll your eyes at them every time they talk. You don't even want to look at them. You thumb your nose up at them and say, oh, no, that ain't me. Oh, yes, it is you.
Yes.
I see it. You got to say, Lord, don't let me be that way. All of that, it cuts the line.
Yeah.
Here you go talking to the Lord. You don't even understand. Your line is being cut.
Yeah.
Why is it cut out? It's cut out because you hate your brother. Right. Lord said, how you going to say you love me who you've never seen?
Never.
And you hate your brother who you see every day?
Right.
Lord called you a liar.
Right.
And the truth is not in you, right?
Right.
Got to fix that.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
You got to fix that. Heard a fellow one day say, oh, we two saints, and we both of us disagree. Both of us disagree. Somebody said, what do saints do when both of them disagree? He said, well, we just agree to disagree. No, we don't. No, we do not. Not no saints. Saints don't agree to disagree. You better get on your knees and pray. Somebody got to pray and ask the Lord to give them direction. Because in your disagreement, somebody's right. Everybody understand that? Somebody's right. Somebody need to take that low road and say, I'm what? I'm wrong. See, that's the answer right there. People don't want to do that. The easy way out is to say, we're just going to agree to disagree. You go your way, I'm going to go my way. And here you got a church full of folk agreeing to disagree. Faking it. Yeah, they faking it. They faking it. They all day say, oh, praise the Lord, how you doing? I'm doing good. All in the back of their mind. You know when we had that such a situation? When was that? A couple of years ago. We just decided, we just disagree. If they do them, I'm going to do me. A whole church full of folk like that. I mean, whole church full of folk. And you think they're talking to the Lord. How in the world are you going to have a conversation with Jesus like that?
Right.
When he's already telling you his ways are not your ways.
Right.
His thoughts are not your thoughts.
Right.
So now you're going to have this mentality that you can agree with Jesus to disagree with him.
Right.
Lord, I'm going to choose her. Even though I know you don't agree with her, me and you going to just choose to disagree, and we're going to do this thing called life together. Oh, yeah. Jesus said, go right on. You and her going to go to hell. Huh? Because you got that wrong attitude. Lord say, your ways got to come up to Jesus' ways. You got to have it in your mind the way the Lord says it, in his prayer. He was teaching us to pray. When he was getting ready to go in unfamiliar, undesired territory. Who knew where he was going? God knew, but the body had no idea. And when the body began to sense what God was getting ready to go through. Huh? Oh, yeah. Isn't that something? Jesus is God Almighty. He knows the end from the beginning. He knew what every whip was going to feel like it. Before it even hit him. He knew what the nails were going to feel like before it entered into his hand. And God, because he knows all things, when that body got knowledge of that, that body said, if it's any other way, huh? If it's any other way, let this cup pass from me. In other words, let this wrath, this horrible experience pass from me. He said, nevertheless. He didn't say we're going to agree to disagree. He said, nevertheless, not my will. Took the low road. Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. That's true. You got to have those same kind of attitudes when we're working in with the brothers and the sisters in our different auxiliaries, different ministries. You're not going to always, people are not going to always agree and say, okay, we're going to wear blue. You may say, I don't like wearing blue. I want to wear black. Well, the president said we're going to wear blue. You can't say, well, I'm going to just agree to disagree. Somebody's got to take the lower road. You got to now bring your mind in agreement to the color blue. Huh? That way, how do you know you're in agreement with it? When somebody asks you with it, you say it with a positive attitude. You say, we are going to wear the color blue. But I heard you in the meeting say you didn't want to wear blue. Well, the president said it, and I'm okay with it. Jesus is going to be glorified, right? Not my will. Everybody understand that? Not my will, but let thy will be done. Huh?
Yes.
Then other folk come and say, somebody come up to you, that's a little whisperer. Huh? A whisperer. You know that's not Jesus, because Jesus don't do that. A whisperer come up to you. See, I knew we shouldn't have wore blue. Look how we look. You got to say, no, that's not like Jesus. Huh? Jesus is fine as long as he's glorified. We're giving the Lord the glory.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Come on, in all that we do, let him be what? Exalted.
Right.
In word and in deed, right?
Jesus.
Let Jesus be glorified.
Right.
See, you got to be very careful not to go down those paths. You say, I just got to, what is it in the world? Does this have to do with, I'm trying to tell you, this will hinder your prayer life. You'll be talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, you got unresolved issues that you need to fix first. And when you fix them issues, then you can come and do what? Talk to me. Don't all that talking to the Lord say, I don't hear nothing you say. Then you know the Lord don't hear you because he keep that person in front of your mind. Why don't they leave my head alone? Lord said, because you need to fix whatever's in there. Something is wrong between you and your brother or you and your sister. And Jesus said, you need to be at fellowship. One with another, right? Is that scripture says? Why? Because it won't hinder our prayer life. We don't want our prayer life to be hindered, do we? That's the truth, saints. Now when the Lord specifically said we should be praying without what? Ceasing. We don't want our prayer lives to be hindered. Talking about you want the Holy Ghost, you don't even want to repent. You don't even want to get rid of that stuff that's not like Jesus out of your life. You got to say, you got to adopt the mind frame that that's not you anymore. Huh? Lord, I want to be a new creature. I don't want to be that old man no more. Right? And we say, well, Scott, I really do like doing this. Then, well, if you like doing it, I feel sorry for you because you're never going to be the new. As long as you're okay with the old, you will never be the new. You say, Scott, why these folk won't come to church? Because they're okay with being the old. When they're sick of the old, they'll come on over and be new. Huh? Is that the truth, saints? Oh, yeah, they'll come on over and be new. Did I finish up? We finished that one? Go. Now, let's look at this example, and I'm going to let you go. James chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Look at this example of prayer. And look at what is associated with prayer. James 5 and 17. I'm going to let you go.
5 and 17.
Yes.
James, Elias was a man subject to like passions.
Yeah, like passions as we are.
And he prayed earnestly.
How did he pray?
Earnestly.
See how that word is associated with prayer?
Yeah.
So my prayer needs to have the word earnest associated with it. In other words, I really want this thing. When somebody's earnest about something, they really want it. It's serious. It's not a play thing. Now, I was talking to somebody this week about prayer. I said, be serious about your prayer. Don't play with it. Pray. Be serious about it. Because you're going to need the Lord. You're going to want the Lord to do something for you that only he can do. And you need to be real sincere with Jesus, right? Be serious about your prayer life. Don't let the world or anybody else make prayer a joke. Because prayer is very serious. You only got one shot at this being able to talk to the Lord. Because death is going to end that. Didn't I tell you all that before? I just said death is going to end that. When you're dead, you're not going to be able to talk to the Lord no more. There will be no more communicating like that. Huh? Oh, yeah, not like this. Not like this. Not like this. We said, well, it's kind of folk in heaven. Well, they're with Jesus. You trying to get where he is. So you got to learn how to do what? Talk to him right now. Letting him know that you earnestly desire to be where he is, right? I desire to be in your presence, Lord Jesus. What is that? Elias was a man, was subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly
that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth.
Isn't that something? So that let me know, who did he go to? The source of the weather. Lord, that brother went to the source of the weather. I seen the Lord do it for us.
Yeah.
Y'all best believe I was praying this week that the Lord would bless us to have service. I didn't want to miss no service this week. I was okay with not going to work. You know, as long as they kept paying me, you know, I was okay with doing that, but I didn't want to miss no church. I told him, I tell you, we got up, we said we had to shovel. I said, okay. I said, well, I know he was hungry. He said, what'd you say? You had your grits and your toast and all that other good stuff in the microwave. I said, well, Daddy's going to feed you. Daddy's going to take you somewhere to eat. He said, we're going to Dunkin' Donuts. I said, no, son, they don't Dunkin' Donuts. Breakfast is over with. It's almost evening time. It's dinner time. So I said, so you just say wherever you want to go up at dinner. He said, oh, okay. Well, we'll go over here. We'll go to this place. I said, all right. We'll go there. Then on our way, I said, well, we got to stop by the church. He said, oh, okay. All right. I said, well, tell you what. You go inside and you go get the salt. And I'm going to start the shoveling. So I got the shoveling. Before he came outside, most of the shoveling was done. We had all the paths cleared out. And I said, now, make sure you put enough salt down. Salt it up real good. Because I know it's going to get cold tonight. And I need to make sure whatever fall down, it don't freeze. Because I want to make sure that when Friday comes, we don't have no hindrances, right? So I got here Friday. When I come outside, I was wet. I said, well, let me go give me some more salt. I throw that salt down there because it's looking a little shiny down there. I didn't want no snow. I didn't want nobody to come to church. I say, oh, Elder Scott, I can't come to church no more because I done slipped on your sidewalk. So I put the salt down there. We put a good coat of salt down there. I put really too much salt because the salt is still out there. But I let you know I did not want you to fall on this sidewalk. Now, we put the salt down there. We was able to come in here for service. And I was very cautious. I was cautious because what did I tell the saints? I said, if you cannot come, don't come. I don't want you to be in danger trying to say, well, I'm trying to come to church, but I slipped and broke my neck. Because I was walking on my sidewalk. I didn't clean your sidewalk off. So that's why I told you, if you couldn't come, don't you come. But the door was going to be open. Huh? I made sure my sidewalk was clean. And I made sure this sidewalk was clean. Now, if you made sure yours was clean, beautiful. You should be here. If you have no control over it, you can't do nothing until the man clean off your sidewalk. But you can stand flat-footed and say, the church was open, right? Huh? And that wasn't my no mistake. I prayed to the Lord for him to do that. I asked the Lord, Jesus, make a way so that we don't have to miss, so our doors won't be shut because of the weather. Didn't want to sit up on a Friday night looking at my crew, knowing that I could be in prayer somewhere. Even if it was just going to be us, I told him, if it ain't going to be nobody but us in there praising Jesus, we got to, I dare get on the drums, I get on that piano to want to get that tambourine, and we'll just get to praising Jesus. Just like it's better though to be in here and do it than to be at home and do it. Now we can do it at home, but it's something better to be in the house of the Lord and do it. Now, see, the Lord let me know, he put it in my mind, Stephen, if you can go to work, you can come to church. And I had to say amen to that. I had to say amen, Lord. If I can go out here and put myself in harm's way to go make a dollar, I can at least come and praise you, right? I had to say that. I had to live by that. We got in here, and Lord bless, I started getting one text, not going to be able to come, they didn't give us, I said, oh. Not going to be able to come, give us out. Huh? Not going to be able to come. Did another text say, I'll be there. I said, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord Jesus. And she was a witness because she testified. She said, who came? The people came and cleaned off her sidewalk for her. Unexpectedly. She didn't have to wait for nobody to do it. The Lord said, I'm going to take care of you now. What are you going to do? She couldn't use that excuse, say, ain't nobody come clean off my sidewalk. She looked outside. It was dry. The man came by and cleaned it all for her. Huh? And that's right. Came. Now the Lord said, what you going to do with it? Huh? What you going to do with it? Yes, you say, oh, Jesus, sweet, he's a sweet Jesus. Because he puts us in situations every now and then to see, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to perform? How are you going to perform? And you say, oh, Scott, why are you saying all that? Because I'm trying to tell you the value of prayer. I made my petition known to who? I didn't tell Sister Scudder. I didn't tell my children. I talked to the Lord. And the Lord heard my cry. And he made a way. Oh, yes, he did. He made a way for me to get from point A to point B. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I said, well, and Friday came. I said, well, Lord, it was about 11 o'clock. I said, they ain't closed down the job yet. And I got a text, bing. I said, well, let me see if they close. Because I know if they close, I usually would use that as my gauge. They say, you can't go to work. I say, well, we may not be able to go to service. It may be just that bad out there. They said, 2 hours late. So I said, oh, 2 hours late. Sure enough, went on up the street a little bit. And I noticed the main roads were clean. I said, well, Lord, if they took care of these main roads like they do these side roads like they do the main roads, Philadelphia would be a dangerous city. You know. But they leave them side roads just like, you know. keys and throw some stuff. I don't even think they get out the truck. I don't even think the trucks come up the street. I think they just take the hand and just throw salt up the street and run on there. We did that, and don't you see your street is brown, it's dirty. Now, you ain't put no salt down there. Some of them, I seen them drive down the side street with the plow up. I'm like, what in the world you come down the street for? You got a plow right there. At least put the plow down on the ground. This ain't my street to clean. Well, what you come down the street for? Stay off this street if you're not going to clean it, right? That's the truth. But to be able to say they went down it. I went down that street. You ain't plowed nothing, but you went down. I went down that street. You ain't even turn on your salt thrower. Salt thrower steel. Plow up. But you ran down the street. I guess you say, well, did y'all do that street? Yeah, we went down that street. Ain't did nothing.
No.
Ain't did nothing. Just lying, right? But I say all that to say, Elder Scudder, what are you talking about, Elder Scudder? I'm trying to tell you the Lord will hear your prayer. If you make your petition known to the Lord, he will do what? He will hear you. You make your request known to Jesus, he will hear you. Now, you may not like what he had to say, but I'm trying to tell you, you can't develop this attitude. Well, I'm going to just agree to disagree with Jesus.
No.
You got to humble yourself.
Yes.
And let his will become your will.
Right.
Nevertheless, not my will.
Right.
See, when you say we're going to agree to disagree, you saying, Lord, you have your will and I have my will. Lord say, no, 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 no. You have to say, nevertheless, not my will. But let your will. What does your will look like? We're going to wear blue? I want to wear blue. What color do y'all want to wear? I want to wear blue. But you didn't say that when we was asking for colors. The person that's in charge said, we're going to wear blue. So now their want has become what? My want. I'm going to be an advocate of blue now. Y'all understand that? I'm going to be pro-blue. Blue for that service is going to be my favorite color. Right? Did everybody understand that? I'm not going to give the sense that I'm in opposition to blue. Else my prayer is going to be what? Isn't that something? Y'all, people don't think like that, but I'm trying to tell you that the Lord's word says that. You got an altar with your brother and your sister? Lord said, don't you come to the altar. Don't you come to the place of sacrifice to pray. Go fix that altar first. Hey, well, they won't hear me. Go find an independent party then. Tell the matter before the independent party. And when the independent party hears it, they say, oh, well, A is correct. B has got to say amen. Because the independent person said what? A is correct. Well, I don't agree. B say, I don't agree with the independent person and I don't agree with A. They can't say, oh, well, we just going to agree to disagree. No, no, that's not what the scripture said. No. Scripture said, go to the church. Go to your pastor.
Yeah.
Go to your pastor and let him hear the matter.
Yeah.
And the pastor hear it. Say, okay. Well, A is correct. B, you just have to go along with what A said.
Yeah.
B can't say, well, you just want to pick on me. You don't agree with me. I knew you was going to choose them. Say, where else you going to go? Ain't no place else for B to go but out. Because Buck stops here.
Right.
So if you're not going to hear me, it's time for you to go.
Yeah,
right? Because
right?
Obviously, A and me aren't the problem.
Right.
You are the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You are what the scriptures call the wood for the fire.
Yeah.
Huh? And if I want the fire to stop burning,
yeah.
Huh? I got to get rid of the wood. Right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Put away that contentious
yeah.
person. Right?
Yeah.
That person that causes strife. And all of a sudden, there will be peace.
Yeah.
Huh? Ain't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there will be peace, saints. All right?
Yeah.
Trust y'all got something out the word.
Amen.
Hide the word that you may not sin against Jesus. Don't let anything hinder your prayer life, saints. Learn how to pray. And do it without ceasing, saints. As I said, most of your prayer is going to be done off of your knees. Prayer is your act of communication with Jesus. When you're driving down the street, you should be praying. You standing at the bus stop, you should be praying. You walking from one corner to the next corner, you should be what?
Praying.
That's right. Sitting on the side of your bed at night, you should be doing what?
Praying.
Laying in your bed. Lord, wake you up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
He ain't wake you up in the middle of the night to read your phone. He waiting on waking you up to be able to do what? Talk with him. Find some time to do what? Pray.
Right.
Talk with the Lord Jesus. Now, if you're on your phone looking up something spiritual, that's something different. Not saying nothing, but he ain't putting you on there to find out what's going on in somebody else's life. That's gossip. Because once you find it out, you're not going to keep it to yourself. You're going to talk about it. Guess what? I saw a picture of so-and-so and so. Look where they in. I knew that they ain't worried about that COVID. They all on family and all of that's gossip.
Yeah.
All you need to do is worry about who? Yourself. Right? You got enough business worrying about you than to be bringing in somebody else's business into your life. All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus' name.